And we're going to read verses 8 to 18. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him, for he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. Let's pray. Dear Father, we just thank you again for your word, and we thank you for your mercy to us. We just pray you would help us in this time and with everything that's going on in the world today, that we would recognize your mercy upon us, and that we would show that mercy to others as well. Just bless looking into your word this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I think all of us have at one time or another gone to the optometrist to get our eyes checked, to see if we need glasses or if we already have them, to see if we need a different prescription. And during such a visit, we sit in a chair and the optometrist swings in a piece of equipment, which is known as a phoropter, and we peer through it and we're asked to read a line of letters on the eye chart. And many times to start with, we can't tell what the letters are. Sometimes if our eyesight is really bad, we may not even tell if there are letters. It's just a great big blur. But then the optometrist pushes a button somewhere and a series of different lenses rotates until we're able to see the letters clearly. And so in just a few brief moments, we can go from having everything be blurry to everything we see in sharp focus. And as well, we think too that when we get through all that and the optometrist determines either we need glasses or we have them but we need a new prescription, we pick out the frames and they get the lenses made and they'll call us back in. When we first put on those new glasses, it's always amazing how clearly we can see. And so we recognize that our physical vision can be impaired. And when that is the case, to see clearly, we need corrective lenses. But spiritually speaking, we realize as well that our vision can be also greatly impaired. And so God has his own corrective lenses that he offers us to help us to see things clearly. There is much in this world today, and much in our own hearts as well, that tends to obscure our spiritual vision. And it can often be hard for us to discern God working in us, God working around us. But nevertheless, as we through faith accept the corrective lenses God offers to us, the true reality in which we live is brought into sharp focus, and we may see things we have never seen before. Last week, we considered the thought of seeing life through the lens of gratitude. That is, when we have a thankful heart and when we determine to be thankful in all circumstances and for all circumstances, whether we we're expecting them or not, whether we had asked for them or not, we learn to see challenging situations not as curses but as blessings. We see them as opportunities for God to show his power and bring good out of what looks to be evil to us. And so this morning we want to consider another thought, that is that we need to learn by faith to see the world through the eyes of mercy. We live in what can be a very cruel world. Nature itself is under the curse of sin, and as a result, there is great cruelty amongst the animal kingdom, with predators and their prey, with the strong dominating the weak. As human beings, we speak of our humanity, that which differentiates us from brute animals, yet for many in the way they treat others, that line is very much blurred. Throughout history, great cruelties have been perpetrated on men, women, and children by their fellow man. Slavery, abuse, torture, genocide. Some of this is spurred on by a quest for vengeance to right some wrong of the past, whether real or imagined. But vengeance, by its very nature, always goes beyond the line of justice towards vindictiveness, making people pay in full and inflicting a little extra pain so that they don't do it again. But nevertheless, a great deal of cruelty can be enacted by others simply because they are in a position of greater strength or authority and feel that they can get away with it. And so living in this present evil world, we see this cruelty all around us, and we may even experience it firsthand in different ways by what people say to us, what people may do to us. And especially if we've been on the receiving end of cruelty, that cruelty can be all that we can see. And we can allow that pain that we've experienced at the hands of another to consume our thoughts to the point that we become bitter, vengeful, and vindictive. That we want someone to pay for the wrong done to us, and sometimes we don't care who pays as long as somebody does. That we might not be able to take out our anger, frustration, and bitterness on the actual person responsible, so we may end up taking it out on the next person available. It could be a neighbor, it could be someone in traffic, it could be even a family member. But we want to realize as well that bad experiences that we have with certain individuals can taint our view of everyone, that we can assume because we've been hurt that others are going to hurt us as well when given the chance to do so. And it can even get to the point, as we experience the cruelty of this world, that we start to look to God as being cruel, and that he did not overrule the cruel act perpetuated against us, or perpetrated against us, rather. And so, when we get to that point, we need to recognize that our spiritual vision has become impaired. We are not seeing things as they really are, and we're definitely not seeing God as he really is. Instead, we need to learn to see life through the eyes of mercy. We define mercy as that benevolence, mildness, or tenderness of heart which disposes a person to overlook injuries or to treat an offender better than he deserves. Mercy as well can be defined as the disposition that tempers justice, induces an injured person to forgive trespasses and injuries, and to forbear punishment or inflict less than law or justice will warrant. From Ephesians 2 and verse 2, we recognize that the course of this world is according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And in times past, of course, we followed that same course, as it speaks of in Titus 2 and verse 3. It says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another." That's what we were, and we understand that this is a cruel world, but it is not so because of God. It is true in spite of God. That cruelty exists when men act in complete defiance to God's command to love their neighbor as themselves. And that is why there is cruelty in this world, is that it's something that the devil himself seeks to provoke, but it is something that many times we inflict even without being provoked. And so we want to understand that our God, the God of heaven and earth, is a very merciful God. And we want today to behold his mercy. And so we see in this passage that we began with this morning, Psalm 103, that it speaks much of the mercy of the Lord. This is a Psalm of David, a man who had a close relationship with God, a man who was by no means perfect, a man who made plenty of mistakes in life, but it's something that he recognized God's mercy in his own life, and he testifies of it to us. We see beginning in verse 8 where he says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy." That the word there, merciful, very simply, we understand it to be full of mercy. That it's something that's part of his character. It's something that he has in abundance. It says as well, later on in that verse, that he's plenteous in mercy. That isn't something that he dispenses sparingly. He dispenses it instead in abundance. We see that he will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. There can be many things that we do to provoke the Lord to anger, but we can be thankful that he doesn't hold a grudge. We read elsewhere in the Psalms where his anger endures but a moment. We can be thankful for that. We see that he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. That if he was a very vindictive God, that as soon as we did anything wrong, and of course all of us are sinners, that we'd all face his wrath and deservedly so. That we think of how it says elsewhere in the Psalms where the question is asked, if thou, Lord, shouldest regard iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But he says, but there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. We think of elsewhere, it says in Lamentations chapter 3 in verse 22, it is of the mercies of the Lord that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not, they are new every morning. And so we can be thankful for that, that he doesn't give us what we deserve. And it says verse 11, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. And it's really, he's trying to use something that we can see, something that we can understand, to give us a way of trying to quantify his mercy. And we think of how the heaven is high above the earth, and we could look at it in a few different ways. We could think in terms of our atmosphere and how high it is. We think of different planes that fly in the sky and how high they can get, so that all we see is just a very small plane. Sometimes we can't really see even the plane hardly. We just see the trail left behind by the plane. And he's trying to give us a sense of how high that is, and that's how high his mercy is, or how great his mercy is toward them that fear him. We don't know that perhaps here it may not be speaking of the heaven in terms of the sky. It may be speaking of the heavens being space itself, and we realize how great and how vast that is. And so either way it's big, but we realize that his mercy is great towards us as we fear him. That we see, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. And it's always kind of the interesting thought of just how our globe is, that you can go north to a certain point, to the North Pole and to the South Pole, and he could say as far as the north is from the south, and you'd say, well, that's a long ways away. But we think as far as the east is from the west, that just the way our globe is, the way it rotates, that you can keep going west and never get to a place where you can't go west any further. You can never go east and find a place we can't go east any further. So as far as the east is from the west, as one poet said, east is east and west is west, and never the twain shall meet. And that's how far he's removed our transgressions from us when we're forgiven by him. It says, verse 13, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. That there's different things that we do, and must make God shake his head, but he has pity on us. He knows we don't see things clearly a lot of times. We're of this earth. A lot of times we get stuck focused on the things of this earth, and we don't recognize what's really important. We allow some things to bother us and get our attention that really are not really of any real importance or value. And so he has pity on us. He wants to help us in our plight. He's not one where he looks down at all the mistakes we've made and says, well, I told you so, or why didn't you listen to me? He just says, okay, you need help, and I'm willing to help you and give you what you need. We see, as it speaks of, it gives a comparison in terms of our lives, and of course, from our perspective, that we think that we live long lives, but from God's perspective, he says that our days are as grass, that our lives do not last for very long, that our lives only can be for a very short time in light of eternity. But in comparison, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness on the children's children. And that's something that we can take great comfort in, that from everlasting, before the world was even created, to everlasting, to beyond, when the new heaven and earth is formed and we pass with God into eternity, that His mercy remains, and it remains upon us as we fear Him and as we keep His covenant. And so we can be very thankful for that. And though we realize this passage alone is not the only place in the Scripture that speaks of His mercy, throughout the Scriptures and throughout the Psalms in particular, we see it speaks of His mercy. Psalm 32 and verse number 10 says this. It says, "Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about." That's the thought that our lives, that we want to recognize that as we trust in the Lord, we follow Him, that we are encompassed by mercy. That it is all around us in the things that we experience, things that we end up not experiencing that we maybe deserve. We see in Psalm 69 and verse 16, it says, "Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies." That's the thing, that it isn't just He shows mercy singular, He shows mercies to us, plural. And there is a great multitude of them. That He isn't stingy when it comes to mercy, that He wants to give an abundance to us. And there's a tenderness to His mercy to us, not a harshness. We see as well Psalm 86 and verse 5, it says, "For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee." That we understand that anyone that comes to Him, He's not going to cast out, that He wants to help us, and He's plenteous in mercy. He's not going to give us just a little bit. He's going to give us abundantly above what we would even imagine. We see in Micah chapter 7, verse 18, it says, "Of God, He delights in mercy." Excuse me. It refers to Him in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, is that He is the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. 1 Peter 1, verse 3, it speaks of how He, by His abundant mercy, hath begotten us again to a lively hope by the resurrection of the dead. But I think we see a passage that speaks the most about His mercy is Psalm 136. And it is a chapter of the Bible in which there are 26 verses, and each verse ends with the phrase, "For His mercy endureth forever." And so we kind of think of it that anything that the Bible says, even if the Bible only says it once, we realize it's important. We need to recognize it's God's word. It's profitable to us. We need to obey it. We need to accept it by faith as being true. Excuse me. But we kind of think of it, if God says this 26 times over and over again, we realize it must be really important, that it's something that he's trying to pound it into our thick heads to help us understand. We need to realize this. This is God's mercy endures forever. If we ever have any doubt that it does, we need to realize, no, it's still going. It hasn't stopped. God is merciful. And so we really want to identify that. And this is, it's not just some theological concept that we can just talk about. It's something that affects us. And it's something that personally we really want to identify the mercy that God shows to us. That All of us have sinned against Him. All of us have made some terrible mistakes. And really we can stop and think, boy, if God really read me the right act, if He gave me everything that could have come from the evil that I did, the wrong, bad mistakes that I've made, my life could be very horrible, very painful. But yet, He's shown me mercy. Things have happened. I have had to suffer different consequences, but it hasn't been as terrible as it could have been. That I was deserving of punishment for things that I did, but yet He extended to me forgiveness. That there's been times as a child that I've been chastened by Him when I do wrong, but even in that chastening, God isn't vindictive. It's always in a measured way, that it's always for our profit. And it's a thing that we can be thankful for small mercies through each day. That it's really as we start to see life through the lens of mercy, we just realize how merciful God has been. I remember several years ago, had a situation where I ended up rolling the vehicle, and it ended up being totaled, and in the time, I was kind of just upset and sort of had this thought, well, God, why did you allow that to happen? Of course, and that was foolish because He wasn't the one that rolled the vehicle, it was me. But I remember looking at, because when I went down the ditch, there was a rock that I hit and it had caused me to flip over the one way. And I was like, boy, if I hadn't hit that rock, I wouldn't have flipped, I thought. And so why did God let that happen? But then I got looking at it more closely. And the way I was going in the angle, I was going to be tending to flip toward on the other side. And kind of what happened when I flipped, the passenger side was totally crushed. And that rock, the Lord's mercies, was to let me hit that rock that would force me to turn the other side. So the passenger side was crushed. If I'd gone the other way, I would have flipped, and the driver's side would have been crushed. And so realizing God's mercies even in that, where I did something stupid and it could have killed me, but yet God spared my life by, for some reason, having a rock there in the ditch, because He knew that I'd need to hit that when I did stupid and went too fast and lost control of the gravel road. And so, and I remember thinking about that too, of just different times, of times where on a gravel road or some place where you had, say, a momentary lapse in judgment, or you started to go in a skid and fortunately were able to pull it out in time. And just different things where you really start taking stock of all the times where, boy, if God wasn't watching over me, didn't have a guardian angel, I could have killed myself numerous times. And really that's kind of the thing, is sometimes we can get in a position where things are happening and we get upset about that, and why, God, did you allow this to happen to me? But when we really step back and we wait and look for a minute, it's like, boy, thank you for being merciful, because I did something really dumb, something I should have known better, and this could have been devastating to my own life and to other people's lives. But yet, you showed mercy. You provided a way through, provided me some hope, a way to come out of this and learn from my mistake without it being fatal. And that's something to be very thankful for, something to learn to appreciate. And it's a thing that we think with some of what's going on nowadays, and just in dealing with this whole coronavirus and everything else, that there certainly were mistakes made and lapses in judgment with how our nation and others dealt with this. But yet we find that the Lord's been very merciful to us throughout this, that it hasn't been as necessarily as bad as it could have been. And we could be thankful. We're not through it yet, but each day we can be thanking the Lord for His mercies, that it hasn't been spreading as many feared that it would. And so it's a thing in our lives that each day we want to see the world through the eyes of mercy. We want to confront ourselves with the truth of God's mercy all around us, and just really recognize how much we have been the beneficiary of God's mercy. And when we do that, It changes our entire focus and attitude towards others. It gets us to see things differently. We know the devil is our adversary. We know he wants to destroy us any way he can, and one of the ways he chooses to use over and over again is to get us to be consumed by bitterness when we've been hurt by someone else. He wants us to be hurt and be wounded emotionally and never move beyond that point from that pain that we experienced. He wants us to become so consumed by bitterness that either we step out of life, step out of service with the Lord, or even to the point where, because we were hurt, that we end up passing on that hurt to others, that we end up inflicting cruelty on others in trying to find a way to get vengeance or payback for the hurt that was done to us. And instead, when we see the world through the lens of mercy, we see that God has blessed us and been merciful to us. We've experienced great mercy. And because we have experienced great mercy, that motivates us to be merciful to others. That's like, God has shown such mercy to me, how can I not show the same mercy to other people? And that's a challenge that God himself gives us. If you turn with me to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, being verse 27, he says, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples, but he says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And to him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer the other also. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give ear to the man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, so do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners and receive as much again. But love your enemies, and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful." And so we see that God sets a standard for us. That, and really it's the thing, is that as we see how merciful God is, he says, "I want you to treat others the way I treated you. I want you to show mercy as I have shown. I am full of mercy, I have plenty of mercy, I'm abundant to it. I delight in showing mercy to people, and my mercy endures forever. I want you to learn to show mercy like that to other people in your life." And we say, "Well, but they hurt me. They did this wrong to me." And he says, "But you did wrong against me, and I forgave you the great sin debt. I accepted you into my family. I adopted you as my child. I gave you so many blessings, none of which you deserve. And can you not forgive this person and move on with your life?" But he's trying to help us. It's kind of, we think of that with the idea we looked at last week of being thankful, that so much of it is not just for his sake, it's for our own sake. That if we are not thankful, we learn, or we miss out on many of the blessings. We get ourselves in this negative thinking that can be put us in a very bad place, make us in a place where we are susceptible to the devil's temptations. And it's the same with bitterness. If we allow that to take root, it can defile us and defile many other people. And so God's trying to help us for the sake of others, for his sake, but as well even for our own sakes, that we would be merciful. And we realize that we are blessed if we are merciful. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 17, or 11 verse 17, it says, "The merciful man doeth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. And so if we want to do good to our own soul, we need to be merciful to others, to be full of mercy. Proverbs 14, verse 21, it says, he that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. That we can look at others and think, well, what's their problem? But instead, if we see they need help, and maybe they don't deserve help, but I'm going to give them help anyways. That when we learn to have mercy on those that are needy, then we find happiness in life. And so may the Lord help us in this, that we would learn to see the world through the lens of His mercy. That when we're wrong, we don't allow bitterness to overwhelm and defile us. That instead, when we experience pain and mistreatment by others, we want to see it as an opportunity God has provided us to show mercy and to be a testimony for Him. We see in Romans chapter 12 how it talks about that we're not to avenge ourselves, we're instead to give place unto wrath. If our enemy hungers, we're to feed him. If he thirsts, we're to give him drink. And it concludes that chapter by saying, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And that's what we want to learn to do, is that we don't want to just return in kind, hit back, return evil for evil, or hit them just a little bit harder again. That instead, we want to show mercy, as God has shown mercy to us. That people are expecting to receive as they have dished out. And when we have the chance that we're in a position of power over them, they're essentially waiting for that weight to fall upon them, to get them back for what they did. But when instead we have that opportunity, instead of showing revenge, we show kindness and forgiveness. It throws them for a loop. It doesn't make any sense. And it causes them, why would you treat me that way after I've treated you? And we can ask them by saying, well, I'm showing mercy to you because great mercy has been shown to me. I'm passing it on. And that's the thing, is that God shows great mercy to us, that we're not to be just a holding tank for His mercy. We're to be a conduit. That He wants to have His mercy flow through us to others. And so let us, as the children of a merciful God, be a merciful people. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank You again for Your word. We thank You for the abundance of Your mercies, Lord, that we would not even be standing here today if it wasn't for Your great mercies in our lives. And Lord, we just pray You would help us to cherish and value the mercy that You have shown us, to not take it for granted, not ever come to a place where that we think that we can continue in sin and that just expect that You will be, we can get away with it and You won't, there won't be a reckoning. Help us to not be foolish in that way. Help us to value Your mercy, but help us to share Your mercy with others, Lord, and be merciful as You are merciful. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.